Welcome again. We're glad to have you this morning, and we will be praying for you as you bring and open the Word to us this morning. So welcome as you come speak His Word today.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity and the invitation to come and bring the Word of the Lord to you this morning. It is a privilege, and it is an honor. And when Patrick got a hold of me Friday evening, it was pretty late. God's always right on time. And even though, there's a sense of panic that comes over you as you prepare and as you, I'm not like some of these preachers who have a go-to file that has sermons readily available, although I have a file that has probably most of the sermons that I preached over the course of many years, but I'm not one of those type of preachers that just goes and pulls one out of the file and says, this is what's going to be. I'm one of those preachers that says, okay, God, we got to have you. And sure enough, he came through and he gave me some direction. And so I believe this is a fresh word for you today. Can you say amen? And God knew who would be here. He knew that Patrick and Lisa are sick, and I just want to encourage you to continue to lift them up in prayer and their family. And as Brother Dave expressed, as he's facing this upcoming surgery at the end of the month, and they are great people, and we want to lift them up before the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn with me this morning to the Gospel of Matthew. I'll use my reading glasses off and on periodically. I'm glad I remembered to bring them. I've had to borrow somebody's out in the congregations before. Many of you will be familiar with this passage of Scripture. It actually has its own title. Anybody know what it is? And for verse number 12? I'll let you give you a second to look at it. Did I not tell you? Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. I'll let you just quickly read it yourself, and then we'll read it together. But I want to see if anybody just off the top of your head, you know what it is. I hear people whispering throughout here, the golden rule. All right, let's read it together. Matthew's Gospel, the 7th chapter, verse number 12. So then, in everything, treat others the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the essence of the law and the writings of the prophets. So when that guy cuts you off on 75 as you're headed to work or wherever you might be going, you, as the vessel of honor for God's kingdom, you know that he's wanting you to do that to him, right? How many think that's not necessarily what this scripture might be trying to proclaim to us this morning? Not quite, hardly. So, and if somebody's recording this message and you take that out of context of the message this morning, we might be in trouble. So, but I don't know if you guys have ever heard of, or some of you may have, anybody ever heard of Royal Rangers? Okay, got a few people out there. In the Baptist organization, you have what's known as Royal Ambassadors. How many have heard of that? Got a few more. Okay, so it's close to the same thing. And this morning, as I was praying Friday, and actually yesterday, and I just knelt down at my chair and began to pray and was seeking God for direction for the message, and he directed me to this. And we have a Royal Ranger pledge. And Ryan, you'll put that one up there for us. We're going to read that to you. And I was wondering as we were singing back there if you guys had overhead back there. And I see that you do. That makes it so much easier. But I actually have these things that I'm going to be sharing with you memorized today. As I grew up in Royal Rangers, my dad is a pastor and grew up in church all my life, and I was one of those preacher's kids, but I didn't have the reputation. I always tried to be good. I mean, I think that's a good thing. Praise the Lord. You got any other preacher's kids out there? Oh, no. Sometimes we have a reputation. Thank God for grace. Amen. I said, thank God. Is this on? Thank God for grace. Amen. So this is our pledge as the Royal Ranger pledge. It says, with God's help. Whose help? God's help. I will do my best. Now, we'll just pause for a moment and interject some things in here. How many of you know that really we ought to always do our minimum that we can get by with? The scripture actually teaches us something about this. It says, do all things as unto the Lord. How many think he deserves our very best? No matter what we're doing, no matter, you know, if we're cooking supper, we do our best. No matter if we're cleaning house, we do our best. No matter if we're on the job and we're typing away at the computer or whatever it is that we do on our job, we do our very best as unto the Lord. And it's with his help. So with God's help, I will do my best to serve God, my church, and my fellow man. To live by the Ranger Code and to make the golden rule my daily rule. How many of you think that the golden rule is a good rule to live by? Amen. So when you're at home and your kids are not doing what they're supposed to, you treat them as though you want to be treated yourself. You like to be yelled at? We're not going to be lifting any hands at this point in time. When our spouse, significant other, doesn't do something that they were supposed to do, you know, maybe they just forgot. Jesus gives mercy, amen? Praise the Lord. Remember, it's with God's help we do these things. How many know we need his help? And I think, can look in the mirror and say, I have room for improvement. Amen? With God's help. And the Royal Ranger Code is part of that pledge. We're going to put that up for you. And if you want to just leave that up there that for a while, we'll be dealing with that. Unless you got the scriptures to go with that, that'll be fine too. But to live by this, to live by these things. Now, the Royal Rangers was the boys' program, you know, so we had missionettes. I don't even know what the girls are called. Star? No? Girls in Action? Okay. So I have no idea what the girls did. Okay. I'm not one, so hey, what can I say? So you girls and ladies with us this morning, you're just going to have to pretend, you know, this fits you too. It's good for you as well. Okay, but to be alert, he is mentally, physically, and spiritually alert. Think of a scripture that says, wake up, O sleeper. How many think that we as the body of Christ today, we need to be alert? Now, oftentimes we probably in our natural man, in our natural self, would like to be like the proverbial ostrich with his head in the sand. You know, we don't really want to know and be aware of what's going on around us and realize that there's a world that's lost and on its way to hell. And as it's becoming worse and worse, according to the fulfillment of Scripture, amen? And we see that, let me get these glasses on so I can get my right verse here. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Again, going back to alert, he is mentally alert. Scripture says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. If you have not already realized as a believer in Christ that you have an enemy, you soon will. And if you've been in it in any time at all, you already know that you do. And he's out to get you. He's out to steal, the Bible says, to kill and to what? To destroy. He'd like nothing better than to take us all down. That's just his, that's his job. That's what he does. That's who he is. And we need to be aware of that. We are in a war, if you will. And as a good soldier, we need to be alert. We need to be mentally alert. We need to be aware and mindful of what's going on around us. I'm not a big news guy. I don't like even watching the news. But I try to watch it every now and then, so I just keep abreast of what's going on. It's nothing but good news, right? Somebody got murdered. Somebody got raped. Somebody got robbed. Yeah. We need to be alert, church. And you, did you know, as ambassadors for Christ, we represent Jesus to the world in which we live. There is a war to be fought. There are souls to be gained. And they're looking to you. And they're looking to me. And how we live. And how we respond. And how we react. And are we alert? Are we mentally alert? Are we physically alert? We need to pay attention to this body that God has given to us. Look at the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. It says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? We got to take care of this thing. It's the only one we have. We need to eat right. We need to exercise. We need to get enough sleep. How many of you are missing that hour this morning? Praise the Lord. Remember, go back to the pledge. With God's help, I will do my best. Now, I was raised to where we always had to finish our plate. Because there was a reward sometimes. You know, you finish your plate, you get dessert. You don't finish your plate, no dessert. How many like dessert? Now, you can tell by looking at me, I like dessert. But as I have gotten older, and I'll be 50 years old this summer. Oh, it's hard to believe. I'm not even going to ask Mark. Is he older? He's my elder. But we used to be next door neighbors nearly. But I have not gotten rid of that habit. I still think I've got to finish my plate. Anybody relate to what I'm saying? But I realize mentally, and I know, you know, I don't have to. But they're starving kids in China, you know, or whatever, wherever they are, you know. But listen, what I'm talking about is being alert, being paying attention to what your body is saying and taking care of it. Amen? Is this good? Is it needful? Amen. Okay. And spiritually alert. Matthew chapter 16, verse 3. You know, we can look, it says, paraphrasing here, we can look into the sky and tell whether or not it's going to rain or whether or not it's going to be sunny the next day. But the question says to us, can we discern the signs of the times? How many know we are living in what the Bible talks about, the last days? Time is short. And what we must do for him, we don't have a lot of time to do. Now, I don't know if that strikes a chord in your heart, but it does to me, to realize that what I do for him and for his kingdom, I must be about his business. You know, we've got so accustomed to our own lifestyle and living our own ways and doing our own things. Where is God in that? Are we living for him? Are we doing his purpose and plan and direction for our lives? And it's a question I ask myself that brings conviction. Because a lot of us may be pursuing that almighty dollar, which is not almighty. There's only one almighty. Oh, it takes it to live. I understand that. I know that. I've got three kids. Two dogs and a cat. My wife likes the cat. I don't understand. I don't know what the deal is about cats. And I just lost all the women. I don't know. But being alert, and I'm going to have to hurry to get in all of this, so I'm going to move on here. Clean. He is clean in body, mind, and speech. We've already talked about the body and taking care of the temple that God has given us. eating right, exercising, getting enough sleep. He's clean in his mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, many of you know that the battle takes place most of the time between our ears. You know, it's not necessarily someone else that we're fighting. The scripture even talks about, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, the devil cannot read our mind, but he can put thoughts there. You with me? And it's our responsibility as believers to do what this scripture says and take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. So men, when the enemy puts that lustful thought in our mind, it's our responsibility not to dwell on it and to think about it and meditate on it. It's to take it captive to the obedience of Christ. Oh, shout now. Amen. It's the truth. But you know what we like to do? Oh, I'll just think about that for a little while. No. How many of you know what sin does? It leads to what? It leads to death. Take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Clean in our mind. Scripture teaches us on the things that we're supposed to think about. Whatsoever things are what? Pure, just, honest, good report, virtue. Think on these things. I had to look up virtue last night. I was like, you know, I've heard that word and I know that word, but what is virtue? It's just high moral standards. How many think there's some standards that the church needs to raise up a little higher? We've become too comfortable with the ways of the world. We need to have some virtue in the church. Clean in body, mind, and spirit. Psalms 51, verse 10, probably all of you are familiar with this passage of scripture as David prayed, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. How many know that it's easy to get our spirits out of whack? And just like these musicians will tell you, probably every Sunday they come up to practice, they probably have to tune up, make sure that their instrument is in tune. But the weather affects it, the moisture, the humidity, all those things. And you and I, we cannot live in the world without being affected in our spirit, man. And we've got to create and keep a right spirit. Amen? Renewing a right spirit. It affects how we live. It affects how we act. It affects our behavior. It affects how we maintain and live that golden rule, doing unto others as we would have them do unto us. So, we move on to honest. He does not lie, cheat, or steal. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, it says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters. Now, if you just listen to that list for just a moment, you realize how bad this list is. Right? We're not talking about good people here. And right there in the next part, it says, and all liars. Scripture also says, let all men be liars, but let God be true. Amen. Every one of us, we've lied. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I mean, God for grace. Amen. Praise the Lord. He says that all of this, all of these people that have done these things shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I'm so glad for the blood of Jesus that has cleansed me from all my sin. Amen. He does not lie. He does not cheat. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That means we don't even cheat on our taxes. April 15th's coming up, and I got to get mine done. Oh, it's easy. It's easy to be like the world. It's not so easy to stand up to the truth of God's word, is it? And to be what God has called us to be. That's why the scripture says that wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction. Straight and narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there be that find it. He does not steal. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 28 says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands that thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Moving on in the code, he is courageous. He is brave in spite of danger, criticism, or threat. And I love these verses of scripture found in Deuteronomy to Joshua. Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 6 says, be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. I'm glad he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's not forsaken you, my friend. You may not feel him, you may not experience his presence like you have in the past, but he's still there. And the Bible, and there's an old song that says he's as close as the mention of his name. I have found times, though, in my life, in my times, that I have felt so far away, and I called on the name of Jesus, but I still didn't feel him. I mean, no, that's why they call it faith. And we don't live by how we feel. We live by faith. That's a whole nother message. Faith. I can trust God and be courageous and be strong because I know he's with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. In the midst of trial and tribulation, I'm not there alone. He's with me. Amen? So I can be courageous. Because if you've read the back of the book, what happens? We win. That's right. Amen. We win. Well, does it feel like it sometimes? No. Sometimes it feels like we're losing. Doesn't it? Let's be honest. But thanks be to God, he gives us more grace. Amen. And we can rise up and we can be courageous. Somebody define, I'm trying to think of how it actually was put. That doesn't mean that we're not afraid, but it means that we can move in spite of our fear. Right? Fear can rob us. It's part of the enemy's tactics against us. But Jesus, speaking to you this morning, he says, be strong and courageous. Amen? Be strong and courageous. He is loyal. He is faithful to his church. Can you say amen? Family, outpost, and friends. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6 says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? You know, we live in a world where we don't see a lot of loyalty in anything really anymore. We don't like the preacher. We go find another church. Boy, y'all, God, we got any visitors here this morning? With God's help, I will do my best. Okay, Lord, help me. Loyal to our families, our wives or our husbands, our children. Loyalty to our employers. I'll just find a better job. You don't appreciate me? We can get that attitude. Amen? Let's go back, up and refer back to creating me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. Okay? Amen. He is faithful to his church, family, outpost, and friends. Moving on, he is courteous. He is polite, kind, and thoughtful. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, we see the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We ought to be bearing these in our lives. I told you I've got three kids. They're 20, fixed to be 23, 20, and 18. And they'll show you what kind of fruits you have. How many have kids? They ever look at you? I was picking on my oldest last night, and shouldn't have done that. Had to apologize. Don't y'all like apologizing? It's just not fun, is it? Is it the right thing? When it's necessary. Amen. Remember, with God's help, I will do my best to serve God, my church, my fellow man, live by the Ranger Code, make the golden rule my daily rule. Didn't want you to forget about that. Obedient. He obeys his parents, leaders, and those in authority. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. I thought about this scripture. I won't read it all, but just that part that says to obey is better than sacrifice. You know, and as a young boy growing up in rural Rangers, you know, you see obedience, you obey your parents, your leaders, and those in authority, your teachers, things of that sort. But as an adult thinking about that, how it relates to obedience to our Heavenly Father. We could spend a year or more right here on this subject and topic of obedience. What does God want you to obey that you're still waiting? You know, have you immediately obeyed, or is there still some delayed obedience at work in your life? God just doesn't want us to have lip service. It's not enough for us to just come to church on Sunday and Wednesday night, and even to pay our tithe and to be involved in Vacation Bible School and all the things that we do for the kingdom. You know, we can be busy doing good things and still not obey. Hello? Y'all hear what I'm saying? Obedience is better than sacrifice. So I'm going to do my best to obey, right? Obedient. Spiritual. He prays, reads the Bible, and witnesses. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So he prays, he reads his Bible, and witnesses. Are those things that you do on a daily basis? One of the things that I most appreciate in my upbringing was that my parents instilled in me the necessity to discipline myself to read God's word every day. That is a treasure that I cannot tell you how much is worth to me. Something I practice today. It's something I did this morning. Not related to preparing for a sermon. I so love it. I wish I could say it was like food, because I love to eat. But it is spiritual food. It's spiritual nurture to me. And when I don't do it, because I have those days, thank God for grace. Hallelujah. But I miss it. And I feel the tug of the Holy Spirit dealing with, oh, I miss my time with you. times that we fail to pray, we get up early and with intentions, or we can come off of a Sunday night service at church where the power of God just moved and people were in the altars and tears were shed and lives were changed and the Holy Ghost was dealing with people and miracles were taking place, and we've determined that we're going to start a new day and a new journey with God, and we get up with the intention on, we prepare and we put the alarm early so we can get up and pray, and then we struggle through the night, don't sleep good, you know, and then the alarm goes off and we hit the snooze and we hit it again and hello. Anybody relate? With God's help, I will do my best to serve God, my church, my fellow man, to live by the Ranger Code, to make the golden rule my daily rule. How many think that's a good pledge? Well, that's the message that God wants you to hear today. And I've done my best to give it to you. But maybe there's something, Mark, if you guys, musicians, maybe want to come. Maybe there's something that the Lord has maybe particularly pointed out to you through the Holy Spirit. He deals with us, right? He speaks to us. Aren't you glad for that? He's the comforter, but he's also the convictor. And there may be some things that you have in your life this morning that maybe you hadn't been doing your best at. Would you bow your heads this morning? Now I want you to just take a little bit of time to reflect this morning on the message. I'm going to recite this pledge again, and at the close of the service, we're going to all do it together, but I'm going to go through the code again real quick, just hit the highlights. And as I do, just ask the Holy Spirit to search you. With God's help, I will do my best to serve God, my church, and my fellow man, to live by the Ranger Code, to make the golden rule my daily rule. The Royal Ranger is alert. He's mentally, physically, and spiritually alert. He is clean. Clean in body, mind, and speech. Honest. He does not lie, cheat, or steal. Courageous. He is brave in spite of danger, criticism, or threats. Courteous. He is polite, kind, and thoughtful. Loyal. He is faithful to his church, family, outpost, and friends. Obedient. He obeys his parents, leaders, and those in authority. Spiritual. He prays, reads the Bible, and witnesses. As your heads are bowed this morning and you've searched your hearts, how many would be honest this morning and say, there are some areas in my life I know the Lord wants me to improve on? And you just simply just lift your hand. I'm not going to call you to the front. Hands are going up all across the congregation. You can put them back down. Hallelujah. Maybe this morning your relationship with God is not what it needs to be. Maybe there's some repentance that needs to be made. Maybe you need to give your heart to Jesus today. The Bible tells us that today is the day of salvation. If there's anybody here this morning that you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're missing out on the greatest relationship that you could ever have in this life. And He wants to give you life and life more abundant. And He's calling you today to come home. And if that's you this morning, I'm just going to invite you just to stand up where you're at and just come right on down to this front area right now. Don't be ashamed. Don't be bashful. Don't be shy. Because He's here with welcome and open arms to receive you as His own this morning. Is that you today, anyone? So we wait for just a moment. You don't know Jesus, but you want to give Him your life today. Amen. All right, will you stand with us? I'd like to invite you to make this pledge with me. Now, You can go through the motions and you can say it out loud, as I hope you do. Even if you don't really mean it, just do it for my, you know, my humor. Help me out here. But I'd really like for you to commit to believe it and mean what you say. How do you think that we as believers ought to be people who mean what they say? If you call yourself a Christian, act like it. You remember my example of 75? Come on now. I'm preaching to Todd here. Would you say this with me? With God's help, I will do my best to serve God, my church, and my fellow man. To live by the Ranger Code, to make the golden rule my daily rule. Amen. That means so be it. You've made a pledge. We heard it. Let's live it. Amen.
All right, thank you, Todd, for being with us this morning. Glad for you all to be with us as well. Don't forget that we have church again tonight.